The librarian scratched his armpits thoughtfully. He was facing problems of his own. He had come here full of rage against book thieves, and that rage still burned. But the seditious thought had occurred to him that, although crimes against books were the worst kind of crimes, revenge ought, perhaps, to be postponed. It occurred to him that while, of course, what humans chose to do to one another was all one to him, there were certain activities that should be curtailed in case the perpetrators got overconfident and started doing things like that to books too. The librarian stared at his badge again and gave it a gentle nibble in the optimistic hope that it had become edible. No doubt about it, he had a duty to the captain. The captain had always been kind to him, and the captain had a badge too. Yes, there were times when an ape had to do what a man had to do. The orangutan threw a complex salute and swung away into the darkness. The sun rose higher, rolling through the mists and stale smoke like a lost balloon. The rank sat in the shade of a chimney stack, waiting and killing time in their various ways. Nobby was thoughtfully probing the contents of a nostril, Carrot was writing a letter home, and Sergeant Colon was worrying. After a while he shifted his weight uneasily and said, "I've thought of a problem."
"What's that, Sarge?" said Carrot.
Sergeant Colon looked wretched.
"Well, what if it's not a million to one chance?" he said.
Nobby stared at him.
"What do you mean?" he said. "Well, all right, last desperate million to one chances always work, right? No problem. But, well, it's pretty, what's the name, specific, I mean, isn't it?"
"You tell me," said Nobby.
"What if it's just a thousand to one chance?" said Colon, agonizedly.
"What?
Anyone ever heard of a thousand to one shot coming up?"
Carrot looked up. "Don't be daft, Sergeant," he said. "No one ever saw a thousand to one chance come up. The odds against it are..." His lips moved. "Millions to one."
"Yeah, millions," agreed Nobby. "So it'd only work if it's your actual million to one chance," said the sergeant.
"I suppose that's right," said Nobby.
"So 999,943 to one, for example," Colon began.
Carrot shook his head.
"Wouldn't have a hope. No one ever said it's a 999,943 to one chance, but it might just work."
They stared out across the city in the silence of ferocious mental calculation.
"We could have a real problem here," said Colon eventually.
Carrot started to scribble furiously. When questioned, he explained at length about how you found the surface area of a dragon and then tried to estimate the chances of an arrow hitting any one spot.
"Aimed, mind," said Sergeant Colon. "I aim."
Nobby coughed.
"In that case, it's got to be a lot less than a million to one chance," said Carrot. "It could be 100 to 1. If the dragon's flying slowly and it's a big spot, it could be practically a certainty."
Colon's lips shaped themselves around the phrase.
"It's a certainty, but it might just work."
He shook his head.
"Nah," he said. "So what we've got to do then," said Nobby slowly, "is adjust the odds."
Now there was a shallow hole in the mortar near the middle bar. It wasn't much, Vimes knew, but it was a start.
"You don't require assistance, by any chance?" said the patrician.
"No. As you wish."
The mortar was half rotted, but the bars had been driven deep into the rock. Under their crusting of rust, there was still plenty of iron. It was a long job, but it was something to do and required a blessed absence of thought. They couldn't take it away from him. It was a good, clean challenge. You knew if you went on chipping away, you'd win through eventually. It was the eventually that was the problem. Eventually, great Artuin would reach the end of the universe. Eventually, the stars would go out. Eventually, Nobby might have a bath, although that would probably involve a radical rethinking of the nature of time. He hacked at the mortar anyway, and then stopped as something small and pale fell down outside quite slowly.
"Peanut shell?" he said.
The librarian's face, surrounded by the inner tube jowls of the librarian's head, appeared upside down in the barred opening and gave him a grin that wasn't any less terrible for being the wrong way up.
"Ook."
The orangutan flopped down off the wall, grabbed a couple of bars and pulled. muscles shunted back and forward across its barrel chest in a complex pavane of effort. The mouthful of yellow teeth gaped in silent concentration. There were a couple of dull thungs as the bars gave up and broke free. The ape flung them aside and reached into the gaping hole. Then the longest arms of the law grabbed the astonished Vimes under his shoulders and pulled him through in one movement.